you guys have been busy, and the president just released his budget, so you get to glance at that, I'm sure. Much maligned or loved, depending on what side of the aisle you're on.
Well, probably maligned.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. So what do you think?
Well, with respect to the president's budget, I haven't had a chance to look at it yet because he just delivered it. And we got to remember, it's about 10 weeks late.
Right.
Here are the sort of the headline issues with it, if you will. He's taking credit for a fair amount of deficit reduction that was already baked into our federal numbers. And so he's double counted the deficit reduction, which I found kind of interesting. He relies heavily on tax increases. Spending continues to go up at a faster rate than even what's projected today. And then lastly, and probably most importantly, it never balances. And so there's a huge contrast between his budget and between the House budget that we passed about 3 weeks ago, which balances in 10 years with no tax increases.
So all in all, then, thumbs down.
Yes. Now, I want to look at it. There might be some hidden gem in there, but I'm not expecting anything at this point. But we'll, between now and the time that we talk next week, we'll have done a full review of it.
You guys are about ready to jump into the VA hearings, and there's going to be an Aggie there.
Yes, there is. I'm excited. We have several hearings to try to modify current programs for VAs with respect to economic opportunity and also educational opportunities for our veterans. And in this hearing that I'm chairing today, we have invited General Joe Weber, who's the Vice President of Student Affairs for Texas A&M University. He's going to be representing the university, the A&M system, and actually all of the state of Texas regarding educational opportunities for veterans. So we're excited to have him and looking forward to hearing what he has to say. I will say this as an editorial comment. Texas and Texas A&M get it right when it comes to dealing with our veterans.
Well, that's certainly good to hear. We're on the line with Congressman Bill Flores. Now, I want to hit you with this. My first question is, how much interaction do you guys have actually person-to-person with the Senate?
Well, a fair amount. For instance, last night, well, twice yesterday during the whip meeting and during a reception that our whip put on, I had interaction with Senator John Cornyn from Texas. Also, Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, who got elected the same time I did, was at the whip's reception last night. Got to spend some time with him. Also, the Texas delegation has a luncheon every Thursday that we're in session, and our two senators come over, and all of the GOP House members get together, and we have lunch and talk about what's going on both sides of the Capitol.
Well, the reason I bring that up is there's so much right now going on about the Affordable Care Act, which everybody knows is Obamacare.
Right.
And Senator Jay Rockefeller has said this is simply going to be the hardest thing we've ever tried to put together. Kathleen Sebelius went out yesterday, a day before yesterday, and said that she didn't know how all of it was going to be implemented. And you're taking a look at it from kind of the other side. What are your thoughts?
Well, it was a train wreck when it was designed.
Exactly.
It's a train wreck in its implementation. During our town hall meetings, we passed out the 21-page application for insurance so that our constituents could see what's coming in their mailboxes in the near future. You know, anytime you have Congress design a program to take over one-sixth of the country's economy, it is destined to fail, and that's what's happening. I mean, there's 20,000 pages of regulations that stand about 7 feet tall. I mean, if you're the person, the lady that owns the dry cleaning stores in Bryan College Station, are you going to be able to read that 20,000 pages and see how it impacts your business? And of course not. You've got a business to run. So it's going to, we're just feeling the birth pangs of this this tragedy for the American economy that we call Obamacare.
Well, we've all kind of had an overview of it now, and there's been several rumblings about trying to repeal it. Do you think that's possible at all?
No, not yet. Now, I will tell you this. The thing that will help us repeal it is American sentiment. And,
well, nobody likes it. Every poll that comes out says that, what is it, like, I think the last one was 54% said that it's a bad idea.
Right, but they're not heated enough about it.
Okay.
I think once, for instance, once these applications start to hit the mailboxes of the constituents of Republican and Democratic districts all around the country, there will be some people that change their minds up here in terms of how they vote for repeal. So I still think there's a chance. Of course, the president, it's his signature legislation, and he wants to hang on to it at all costs.
But defend that one to the death.
Yeah. I mean, there's a high-risk pool that was designed to be an early part of Obamacare. It rolled out about 18 months ago, and it's already failed because it's financially insolvent. So Sibelius announced a couple of weeks ago that they're no longer taking applications for coverage under that program.
So it's just everything's starting to fall through the cracks already.
Well, yeah, there's a giant chasm out there, and they're falling into it. And, I mean, we can't forget that this thing costs $1.8 trillion over the next 10 years, and $1.2 trillion of taxes related to it started on January the 1st. So I think as soon as the pain becomes more evident, we might have a chance to repeal it.
I'm going to bounce back to the budget real quick before we cut you loose, because I know you're busy. We're visiting with Congressman Bill Flores. In part of the budget the president released, there was something about the way they were going to recalculate the interest and the way the cost of living was determined.
Yes, they're going to. What they proposed to do is go to change CPI, and I actually think that's a good idea with respect to calculating benefits. Now, the president also wants to use it with respect to the way you calculate tax bracket creep, and I think that's a bad idea. The change CPI is a better reflection of the true cost of being retired, if you will, or being of the way benefits change for Social Security and for Medicare. And so I actually think that's a good idea.
Thank you, sir, very much. I appreciate the time.
Okay, good talking to you, Kevin. I hope you and Kat are holding the store down while Scott's up in Las Vegas playing.
I just try and keep it between the ditches, man.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'd ask our listeners to continue to pray for our country, our military men and women, our first responders, especially Ricky Manti and Mitch Moran, who are still in the burn units down in Galveston.